Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
I'm Jocelyn McClung. This is Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net. I hope everyone's had a glorious fall season. It's one of my favorite seasons when I lived in New York, seeing the orange and yellow and red leaves all around me. I remember having a cocktail sitting by a fireplace in a restaurant in New York. It's one of my happiest memories. So no matter where you are in this country or in the world, I hope you're having a glorious fall season and hopefully find yourself next to a warm fireplace with a cocktail or tea in your hand. Now, before we move to the author that we're going to be speaking with today, I want to let you know that my inspiration and homework segments will highlight the importance of taking a sip. The story I will include in the inspiration segment will explain what it takes, what taking a sip means, and why we all need to do it. Now, why do I always choose to include stories in my show, you may ask? Because I think stories are the easiest way for us to touch one another. Stories began around the fire pit when we were hunters and gatherers. Parables were told during the biblical times. And in truth, being part of the performing arts most of my life, it's all about the stories. The funny stories, the sad stories, the terrifying stories. Stories touch our hearts, our minds, and even our souls. That's why every month I try to include a story to get my point across. You can yell or shout or demand, but by telling a gentle story, you can actually change hearts and open minds. I just wanted you to know why I always try to include a story in my radio show. But first, we're going to be speaking with Masuda Ramati. She was born in Kabul, Afghanistan, in 1969. She escaped Afghanistan with her family in the 1980s due to the Russian invasion. They immigrated to America in 1982. She eventually graduated with a bachelor's degree in sociology with an emphasis on social psychology from the University of Santa Cruz, California. In the last 20 years, she's been a businesswoman and an investor in residential and commercial real estate. But this is what I think is really cool. The United States Congress has recognized her for her courageous efforts in influencing women about self-love, positive self-image, respect, power, self-confidence, and so much more by using her own life story. She even entered the Mrs. World contest as Mrs. Afghanistan, something I'm sure bothered the Taliban greatly. Her newest book, Kabul to Carmel by the Sea, Almost Killed by the Taliban, will be out this year. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Joffrey, for being so kind to invite me on your radio show. It's a great pleasure.
Well, I was delighted. I'm always big on feminists, so when I read somebody's helping women out there, I always try to get them on my show. That's why I usually do authors who've already, their book is already out, but the fact you work with women so close, I had to get you on my show. But okay, first of all, let's start where you were born, and what did you dream of becoming when you grew up?
I was born and raised in Kabul, Afghanistan, in August of 1969, and I spent the first 11 years of my incredible childhood and pre-Taliban era where
no, I know that. But what did you dream of being when you grew up? That's the question.
When I grew up, I dreamt of becoming a doctor when I grew up.
Okay. We all have different dreams when we're little, and as we get older, some of those dreams change. All right, so you grew up the first 11 years in Afghanistan. What are some of the happiest memories you have of living there?
My happiest moment growing up in Afghanistan was the family vacations that we took in the most beautiful, picturesque parts of Kabul, camping, playing with my cousins, listening to beautiful music as my parents prepared kebab for us, celebrating the tulip season, watching my father play kite. There were so many memories that would take a long time to mention all, but for the most part...
I'm glad you have these happy memories. I'm sure you had a great deal of fun until Russian invaded Afghanistan. Well, let me ask you, you mentioned your father. What were your parents like when you were growing up in Afghanistan?
My mother's side, they were doctors, nurses, teachers. On my father's side, they were more of entrepreneurs. So I grew up in a family that was very well-rounded. We were huge on education and women's rights. I grew up in an era where there was a lot of freedom. Afghanistan was a modern, educated, very progressive. And those are my fond memories of Afghanistan.
Well, obviously your parents love you greatly. They got you out of there when they needed to. Well, let me ask you, when you were growing up, were you raised religiously or spiritually, or did that come a bit later?
My parents were always religious. However, they were not excessively religious. We believed in God and doing good things for humanity. From a very young age, I watched my mother helping the poor, the sick, and the oppressed. So it was natural for me to just learn through osmosis from my both parents, particularly my mother. So it was just a free country where we had the opportunity to exercise our freedom, and I really appreciated and enjoyed that part of Afghanistan.
And all that changed when Russia invaded. Is that when the Taliban became strong there?
So when the Russians arrived in Afghanistan, things changed. A lot of people were arrested and kidnapped by the Russians. So my father was going to get drafted for the second time to go and fight the Russians. Hence, it was very dangerous for us to stay in Kabul. He had already lost his best friend in the army, and my doctor... uncle was being watched by the government, actually. And so it was just very dangerous for us to be there. And that's when my father decided to get all of us out of Afghanistan, since he didn't have a son to look after us. So he told my mother we were either going to die together or survive together. So I'm very grateful that my father took that leap of faith and courageous movement that he decided to take all of us out of Afghanistan.
Did you fly out of Afghanistan to Pakistan, or did you? How did you get out of Afghanistan?
We drove. My father had hired a smuggler, and we all we couldn't leave anything, bring anything with us. As a matter of fact, I'm so heartbroken that I had to leave my family dog behind.
It's a pain
that
broke your heart.
I've experienced for a long time, but I've stayed loyal. I will never have another dog, I've promised myself. So it took about a week for us to get to Pakistan by car, but we had to take breaks and hide in huts and make sure that we were safe, because not only that, we had to worry about the Russians, also the government people and the Mujahideen, that now they're called the Taliban, but they were kind of like a mild version of the Taliban then, the religious people.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember when I was little seeing in National Geographic, you guys were very modern. The women, you know, were doing what everybody was doing. And then all of a sudden it just shifted. And you guys got out just in time, frankly. So you went to Pakistan. And then you, a couple of years later, you moved to America. Was that scary moving to America, or was it exciting, or was it a little bit of both?
Well, I was 11 years old, and I was just devastated because I wasn't really told the whole story. Afghani parents kind of protect the children, so it wasn't my place to know everything. All I knew is that I couldn't tell anybody that we were leaving. I didn't even know where we were going to go. So it was very confusing, very hurtful. But the main thing that hurt me the most, that still does today, is leaving my dog behind. She was my best friend, and her name was Drake. So it was difficult because when we got to Pakistan, I didn't speak the language. We weren't really welcome. Still, Afghani people are not welcome in Pakistan or Iran. They're refugees. That's usually the case, unfortunately. So it was very difficult, and then we waited for 2 years. My uncle in Hollywood, California, is sponsored to come to America. And so in 1982, we ended up in Hollywood. So that was, to say that it was a culture shock would be an understatement.
I would think it would shake you to your bones, coming from Pakistan all the way to Hollywood. Well, what was one of the first things you remember seeing in Hollywood that kind of blew your mind?
Well, the freeway. When we got off the plane, my uncle greeted us at the LAX, and I had never seen more than a two-lane road, let alone 8 or 10. And all these cars were flying at the speed of light, so it was very... For me, I was only 13 at the time. It was very scary. And that was just the beginning of my journey. And I had no idea that I was going to be faced with so many challenges.
Well, okay, so you moved to America. The freeways freaked you out, which I lived in L.A. for about 6 months. I didn't care for the freeways either. But then you went to high school. And I believe you were go ahead.
Actually, I was in seventh grade. I skipped fifth and sixth because those 2 years I didn't go to school. So I jumped from fifth grade to seventh grade, and that was in North Hollywood. And I have had a lot of problems with the language, with the culture, getting bullied every day by the girls. And it was a very painful and lonely life that I lived.
Well, middle school is painful for everyone. I've got news for you. I don't think anybody gets through middle school without being bullied and tortured. I think that's just part of what we do on this planet, but that's going to be changing. All right, so you got bullied. You were shocked by America, but you ended up graduating from college with a degree, and then you went to work. Something happened to you at work. There was a woman who I think was in charge of you. Tell us a little bit about that story.
I am a very kind person and very, very bright, very creative, a natural born because I went through so much when I came here. So I became an overachiever because I had to, because I didn't know anything. Mm-hmm. So I became an honor student. And so naturally people are drawn to me. And I was in sales and I was killing it. People were drawn to me because of my kindness. I treat everybody with respect regardless of your social status or your position with the company. So I was mistreated because I was a threat, jealousy, and also she had made comments about my religion and my country and made fun of it. And so for 3 years, I was literally abused mentally, emotionally, and finally it led to other things that I cannot talk about that happened to me, and it took me 9 years to recover from the mental health crisis, the physical crisis that this woman put me through that caused the danger effect to me and my health and my body. So it was terrible. So I'm just coming out of that experience. And
I am so sorry that she did. I think she should have been fired. I'm so sorry she treated you so poorly and badly and bullied you. But I think that we do choose what we come here to learn. So I think it served its purpose because it got you to basically end up, okay, you wrote your book, which is called Kabbal to Carmel
Kabbal.
By the Sea. I misspelled it on my little notes.
pretty close.
Carmel by the Sea. Almost killed by the Taliban. Tell me what you mean by almost killed by the Taliban.
I am one of those people that always stick up for the oppressed and for the most vulnerable. And so in 2005, I was watching all this terrible news about my country and how women were being killed and prosecuted for wearing makeup or going to work. And so I wrote a letter to Mrs. World and Hollywood, and to make a long story short, told them why I should use this platform to raise awareness. And they honored that. So I went public with it internationally. I've been public televised in 192 countries around the world. And I gave interviews. And the Taliban found me. They came to my open house in Carmel by the Sea. And the rest is history. I'm here. I wasn't supposed to actually go and participate at the pageant because 2 weeks prior to that, I almost got killed, but I was willing to die for my sisterhood and innocent people that were being killed for just the basic human rights that they were exercising in Afghanistan.
Oh, my word. It's just shocking, the things that people do to each other. Let me ask you this. You were bullied at work. Obviously, you guys were bullied in Afghanistan, in a sense, from Russia and then eventually the Taliban. What do you think, if you had to choose what your life lesson is in this lifetime? I think we all come in with life lessons. Mine was to find my way back to self-love. What do you think your life lesson was or is?
I had to find myself because the world is very cruel, and I had to find myself, and I went inward and became my own best friend. I wiped my own tears. I cheered myself at times when I didn't want to live. I told myself everything was going to be okay. So through self-love, through finding myself in my teenage years, because my own cup has been filled by my own desire and my own daily self-improvement, I've been able to do a lot of nice things for humanity since I was a late teenager. So I'm very proud of the fact that I've turned my pain into power. I support a lot of nonprofit organizations in Afghanistan, been helping financially, emotionally, and psychologically people that are product of war. They're traumatized. So I'm doing a lot of hands-on experiences and support for the girls and women of Afghanistan, for families that have a hard time with just life. You know, there's no work there. So I just turn everything into love and serving God and serving my human family. And I'm very proud of that.
Well, and you should be. I think anybody, we all deal with different traumas in our life on this planet. I think that will eventually change, maybe a few lifetimes. But we all deal with different traumas, and it's how we deal with the trauma, whether we, some of us just ignore it, shove it down, others get angry and get bullyish themselves. But some of us roll up our sleeves and do the inner work, and it sounds like you rolled up your sleeves, you did your inner work, you decided that you were going to love yourself, like yourself. What surprised you in your inner work? What did you discover that was a bit surprising?
What surprised me the most was that I was healing myself through serving others, reaching out to other people to bring them groceries, paying somebody's bills.
But that's not inner work. I asked you what surprised you in your inner homework when you were looking for self-love. Was it the beauty that you had inside? What surprised you in your inner work?
My inner work was that I found peace.
Ah.
I found peace. I don't need validation. I don't need anyone to tell me that I'm good, that I'm pretty, that I am intelligent. I put in all the work into myself, which I completely became alienated from the world. I didn't pay attention that the world even existed. I went inward, and through all this work, I found that my life is paradise. and that we have the capability to be everything that we need for ourselves, with ourselves, for supporting ourselves, loving ourselves, and just doing everything for ourselves, from education to financial independence, emotional independence. Right now,
and self-love, and to love yourself. Yes, yes.
That's exactly the foundation.
We can give everything to ourselves. We have been speaking with the author Masuda Ramati, author of Kabbalah to Caramel. I can barely speak. Say the name of the book properly, please.
It's Kabbalah to Caramel by the Sea.
Almost killed by the Taliban. When we come back, I'm going to ask her a few more questions about her life. I'm Joffrey McClung. This is Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net.
MySpiritualCommonSense.com is Joffrey McClung's website, where you can find a plethora of information to help you put some common sense into your spiritual conversations. Not only will you find out more about Joffrey, but you can read her blog and watch her one-minute weekly videos highlighting tips on how to stay conscious and keep growing. You can even get a free affirmations booklet if you join Joffrey's mailing list. So remember to visit MySpiritualCommonSense.com. That's MySpiritualCommonSense.com.
Reach your health and fitness goals. Whether you want to lose weight, learn to dance, build muscle, or just live healthy, Beachbody gives you unlimited access to the nation's most popular fitness and weight loss solutions. Visit our advertiser page and click on Beachbody now.
Self-love is one of the most important love relationships you can have. We are all searching for more love in our life, and it really starts with you. Now there's a guide and workbook that gives you life-changing and powerful insights to help you through an enlightening self-discovery process to self-love, and you can get it on Amazon.com. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love by Joffrey McClung. Get it today. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love on Amazon.com.
If you're looking for unique items at affordable prices, then you should try Dream Product. From apparel to beauty, from shoes to therapeutic relief products, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Dream Products, and maybe your dreams might just come into reality.
If you want a master class on how loss can become your greatest teacher, then get the book How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live by Joffrey McClung. Following a period of loss through Joffrey's life, you'll discover how she overcame challenges to find the many gifts that helped her transcend to her authentic self. Get How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live at Amazon.com. Take Joffrey's lessons to help you overcome your grief and loss. How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live on Amazon.com.
No matter what is happening on the outside, to make a difference, work on the inside. You are part of the fabric of life. Have a positive impact on yourself and others. Take a break from the dark side. Listen to the positive side of podcasts. HRNradio.com.
Hi, this is Joffrey McClung on Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net. Masuda, tell me what you're doing with the Afghanistan people.
Thank you so much. From the moment I left Afghanistan until today, I never stopped loving my country. So I've been very instrumental in helping my country and the people of Afghanistan for at least four decades. So I am very involved. I have sponsored some wonderful children at the Gymnastic Association. They're getting trained to compete professionally. I am also the president of a nonprofit in Afghanistan called the Change Makers of the World. And I've been sending 800 new textbooks for the orphans. I've been giving them presentations via Zoom, and also been helping and honoring their families financially. I talked to Afghan refugees around the world, giving them my counseling services for free, complimentary, listening to them and being a good human being and helping them cope with their mental crisis, being products of war for so many generations. There are a lot more things that I'm involved with, but mainly I want to just talk about these three things because education and sports are very instrumental in overcoming any type of trauma that I've experienced myself as well.
Oh, I totally agree with you, on that. Do you ever hope to go back?
As a matter of fact, my last wish is to one day go back to Afghanistan and take care of orphan children, animals that are malnourished, and also invest in the Afghan zoo because it definitely breaks my heart to see those animals at the Afghan zoo. It's just terrible. And that's how I want to finish the rest of my life in my birthland, in my country with the children.
And you never got another dog?
I will never get another dog, no, because I see my heart is with Jake, and Jake is with me, and she passed away. We gave it to our neighbor, and the neighbor wrote us a letter when we lived in Pakistan that Jake died shortly after the heartbreak.
Oh, that just breaks my heart. Well, I do think you deserve another dog, but that's just between you and me. All right. So
I'm a cat person now. I have two beautiful cats.
Oh, okay. So there are animals in you. I think animals are vital to our wellness on this planet. Well, okay, we know what frightened you about America. What excited you when you came to America?
Grocery stores. I love the variety of cookies and candies and all the fun stuff that, kids like. I just was overwhelmed with how much abundance was in this country, like in every way. In Afghanistan, we only have maybe two flavor ice cream, chocolate and vanilla here. I couldn't count it with my fingers. So that was very exciting.
Oh, okay.
And just the freedom that I could be who I wanted to be. And that in America, you can come from any part of the world and you can hold the American flag, and after so many years, you can become an Afghan citizen, American citizen, excuse me. So as a woman, I don't think I could have represented the Afghan women at the Mrs. World Beauty Pageant in India if it hadn't been for my beautiful adopted country. I am so honored. I'm so grateful. I believe that America, United States of America, is one of the best countries in the world for people in general, particularly refugees. It's built on refugees, as you know, about the Mayflower, but also opportunities.
We're all refugees. I say we're all Mongols. We're all refugees and Mongols looking for a home, and America was it. So I agree with you on that, and I think immigrants make this country tremendous, and we need more of you. To help us grow and expand our hearts and our mind. I think you bring great things when you come to our country. We learn from you. Yeah, we've got bullies. We've all got bullies in our countries. We just ignore them. We don't need them in our lives. But let me ask you this. What do you hope people get out of reading your book?
I would like for people to open their hearts. Before we can open our hearts to the world, we have to open our hearts for our sacred self that I refer to in my book. Once you go inward and find your sacred self and love yourself, then we can share that love, that empathy, that kindness, that genuine spirit that God wants us to share with one another. And this book is turning pain into power. And when I say power, I'm talking about service, love, kindness, forgiveness, and sharing this beautiful life with each other as opposed to fighting with one another and antagonizing one another. So this is a very profound message that our world needs today and forever.
Now, in your book, do you mention the inner work you did specifically in your book?
Yes, absolutely. I've talked a lot about the inner work because that's the foundation. How can we serve the world if we can't serve ourselves? How can we love the world if we cannot love ourselves?
You don't love yourself.
How can we be empathetic to the world if we are not empathetic with our own sacred self?
Exactly right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You are saying everything I've been saying for the past 2 decades. You definitely learned your lesson in this life. I know it was a hard life in the beginning, although it was a good life until you were about 11 and you had to leave. But I think you're doing a wonderful thing with your book and with helping all of these people. I think you're just doing a wonderful job. So if there was one hope you have for the entire world, what would that hope be?
To get rid of hatred.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And for people to get rid of their extreme egoism, because I believe that that leads to nothing good. And once we become humbled, once we become peaceful within, then we can, I'm not saying that we have to get rid of all the war, all the violence in the world. It's not possible, but we can minimize it by being our best.
Oh, I think
and
it is possible.
And helping someone.
I think it's possible. I think it's going to take a couple of centuries, but I think it's very possible. I think you're completely right to get rid of hate, to accept people for who they are, not who you want them to be. We have been speaking with quite an evolved human being, Masuda Ramati, author of Cabal to Carmel by the Sea. I butchered it again. I'm so sorry. Say the name of your book again.
Cabal to Carmel by the Sea. They can also go on my website, www.masudarahmati.com, and learn about my project, and if they want to be a part of it or pre-order my book, they're more than welcome to do so. Thank you so much.
You have been quite eye-opening with the work you're doing, so keep doing the good work. We're going to go to commercial and listen, have a good life. Everybody should get her book. When will your book be out?
My book is going to be coming up in a couple months. It's going to be for the 20th anniversary of Mrs. Afghanistan, where I was supposed to be killed, but here I am. So my faith won over fear. Yes.
Everybody get her book. I think it's well worth the read. This is Jocelyn McClung on Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net.
Thank you very much for having me on your show, and thank you for your beautiful audience.
Self-love is one of the most important love relationships you can have. We are all searching for more love in our life, and it really starts with you. Now there's a guide and workbook that gives you life-changing and powerful insights to help you through an enlightening self-discovery process to self-love, and you can get it on Amazon.com. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love by Jocelyn McClung. Get it today. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love on Amazon.com.
For the best in business class travel, count on Cheapo Air. Cheapo Air has the best price guarantee, 24/7 customer service, and easy booking online or by phone. To experience your hassle-free journey, start by going to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Cheapo Air.
If you want a master class on how loss can become your greatest teacher, then get the book How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live by Jocelyn McClung. Following a period of loss through Jocelyn's life, you'll discover how she overcame challenges to find the many gifts that helped her transcend to her authentic self. Get How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live at Amazon.com. Take Jocelyn's lessons to help you overcome your grief and loss. How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live on Amazon.com.
Discover the world's largest anti-aging organization, Life Extension. For the best information, vitamins, and supplements, you just can't beat Life Extension. To start extending your life, go to the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the Life Extension banner.
MySpiritualCommonSense.com is Jocelyn McClung's website, where you can find a plethora of information to help you put some common sense into your spiritual conversations. Not only will you find out more about Jocelyn, but you can read her blog and watch her one-minute weekly videos highlighting tips on how to stay conscious and keep growing. You can even get a free affirmations booklet if you join Jocelyn's mailing list. So remember to visit MySpiritualCommonSense.com. That's MySpiritualCommonSense.com.
Uplifting Talk. HealthyLife.net.
Hi, this is Jocelyn McClung on Spiritual Common Sense. This inspires me. We all need to be inspired to go beyond what we've known, to do what we've longed to do but were afraid to do it, to remember that life is to be a great adventure, to not let worries or fears make it simply mundane. My hope is this segment will encourage you, move you, and enthuse you to also become an inspiration for others. This month's inspiration is to take a sip. Once upon a time, there was a woman who had been lost in the desert for 3 whole days without water. Just as she was about to collapse, she saw what appeared to be a lake just 100 yards in front of her. Could it be? Or is it just a mirage? She thought to herself. With the last bit of strength she could muster, she staggered toward the lake and quickly learned that her prayers had been answered. It was no mirage. It was indeed a large, spring-fed lake full of fresh water. More fresh water than she could even drink in her lifetime. Yet while she was literally dying of thirst, she couldn't bring herself to drink the water. She simply stood by the water's edge and stared down at it. There was a passerby riding on a camel from a nearby desert town who was watching the woman's bizarre behavior. He got off his camel, walked up to the thirsty woman, and asked, "Why don't you have a drink, ma'am?" She looked up at the man with an exhausted, distraught expression across her face and tears welling up in her eyes. "I'm dying of thirst," she said, "but there's way too much water here in this lake to drink. No matter what I do, I can't possibly finish it all." The passerby smiled, bent down, scooped up some water with his hands, lifted it to the woman's mouth, and said, "Ma'am, your opportunity right now, and as you move forward throughout the rest of your life, is to understand that you don't have to drink the whole lake to quench your thirst. You can simply take one sip, just one small sip, then another if you choose. Focus only on the mouthful in front of you, and all your anxiety, fear, and overwhelm about the rest will gradually fade." The moral of this story is to challenge yourself throughout the day to focus solely on the sip you're actually taking. Not to worry that you can't drink the whole lake, but just to take the one sip you need at this moment. This month's inspiration is to take one sip. Don't worry that you can't finish the entire lake in front of you, but be grateful that you can take a sip now, because it's what you need and deserve. And have faith that if you need another sip, the lake will appear. This is true of any positive actions you may take. You may see a world problem in front of you, but feel it's too large for you to tackle, so you walk away. But what if you just took one sip and did one small positive thing, not even knowing if it's going to make a difference on the problem, but still doing that one small positive thing? If you did a life of doing one small positive thing, you would look back at your entire life and realize you put goodness out into the world just by taking one small sip and doing one small positive thing. Now, this one sip idea holds true on problems that may arise in your life as well. The problems may feel so overwhelming that you feel like there's nothing you can do to change it. However, if you have a problem in your life, you have the ability to tackle it. We are never given anything we cannot tackle. The universe just doesn't work that way. The universe is on our side, and anything that we receive in our lives is also on our side, even when it looks as scary as hell. So if anything that appears in our life is in our favor, then we must have the ability to tackle and change the problem and become free of it. That is, if we so choose. I cannot tell you how many times I thought a problem could not be solved, that it would do me in. And once I got over my pity party and rolled up my sleeves and did tackle the problem and usually by taking one sip at a time, the problem ended. As an example, I was living in my studio apartment in New York City. I had left my partner a few years earlier. I had a miserable job. I was barely making enough money to get by week by week. All my friends had moved to L.A. or to Paris, and I had no acting jobs on the horizon. I was miserable, and I was terribly lonely. I had no idea what to do or how to get out of the mess that I was in. And when I had a blow-up at work, I quit my job. I was at the lowest point in my life. The only step that I could see to take was to move back to Texas. You see, that way my security deposit for my apartment could cover my last month's rent. And I could charge moving home with a few items I had in my studio apartment. I had no idea what I would do in Texas, but it was the only sip that appeared in my life. So I took the sip. I moved back to Texas with no clue how it would work out for me. But that one sip did a lot for me. It got me out of New York. It put me in a position where 2 months later I'd be asked to do a short film for my friend who had moved to Paris and was now planning on filming in Louisiana in the next few months. That one sip also allowed me to do my inner work, to understand myself better and heal those inner wounds. That one small sip allowed me to meet my higher self and begin a relationship that is still going on. That one sip put me in a position when I returned to New York a few years later to become a TV producer and end up making my first feature film a few years later. That one sip, with no idea what would happen after I took the one sip, that one sip changed my life 180 degrees. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to know where the path ends. You don't even have to know what path you're supposed to be on. You just have to be daring enough to take the sip that's being offered to you and to trust that it will lead you where you need to be. The sip may look like it will take you completely away from your dreams, but in truth, you're being offered the sip to get back on the path that feeds your soul the most. So no matter where you find yourself or what problems may be in your life or what problems you see in the world, take the sip that's being offered to you by the loving universe, knowing it will guide you to where you need to be. That's why this month's inspiration is not to find the whole lake, but to take a sip that's being offered to you now. I'm Joffrey McClung. This is Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net.
If you want a master class on how loss can become your greatest teacher, then get the book How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live by Joffrey McClung. Following a period of loss through Joffrey's life, you'll discover how she overcame challenges to find the many gifts that helped her transcend to her authentic self. Get How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live at Amazon.com. Take Joffrey's lessons to help you overcome your grief and loss. How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live on Amazon.com.
If you want USA and worldwide car rentals, choose rentacar.com. Free cancellations on most bookings, no hidden charges. They are trusted by over 4 million customers. Visit our advertiser page and click on the Rent-A-Car banner.
Self-love is one of the most important love relationships you can have. We are all searching for more love in our life, and it really starts with you. Now there's a guide and workbook that gives you life-changing and powerful insights to help you through an enlightening self-discovery process to self-love, and you can get it on Amazon.com. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love by Joffrey McClung. Get it today. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love on Amazon.com.
If you're not in the U.S., listen up. SureTrader is one of the most trusted and reliable names in share trading. With 6-to-1 leverage and other perks, SureTrade is the best for penny stocks and day trades. To find out more, visit our advertiser page and click on the SureTrader banner.
MySpiritualCommonSense.com is Joffrey McClung's website, where you can find a plethora of information to help you put some common sense into your spiritual conversations. Not only will you find out more about Joffrey, but you can read her blog and watch her one-minute weekly videos highlighting tips on how to stay conscious and keep growing. You can even get a free affirmations booklet if you join Joffrey's mailing list. So remember to visit MySpiritualCommonSense.com. That's MySpiritualCommonSense.com.
You're listening to CHSR Real Radio on the web.
Hi, I'm Joffrey McClung. This month's spiritual homework is to take a sip. And what I mean is to take a sip of self-love. I want you to look inward and discover a bit more about who you are. I want you to look inward and discover what wounds you are still dragging along from the past. I want you to look inward and discover great beauty underneath all your pain and fear. So I want you to take a sip of what is right in front of you that will enable you to fall in love with yourself again. Maybe there's a book you've wanted to read that will aid you on your journey of self-discovery. Take a sip and buy the book and see where it leads you. There could be a podcast that you wanted to listen to that explains power and why following your excitement matters. Take a sip. Listen to the podcast and see what happens to you. Now, I took a sip here, and I did listen to the podcast on power and following your excitement. And it is changing my life. I am following my excitement each and every day as best as I can and doing it better every day as well. Maybe you know you're lugging around old baggage, which is causing you to misbehave and to act out. So take a sip. And get to know those parts in pain causing you to misbehave and heal them with love and compassion. And maybe there are beliefs that you've outgrown but are still creating your reality. Take a sip and choose one negative belief and decide to change that one now. Just identifying the belief that you want to change can neutralize the belief. And if a belief is neutralized, you can replace it with a positive, loving, expansive belief. And you can turn that expansive belief into an affirmation you can do every morning and every night to lock it in. Now, judgment is something that can trap many of us. It's one of the safety nets I talk about in my book, The Heart of the Matter. Safety nets are our go-to behaviors that are born out of the falsehood that you must protect yourself at all costs from a dangerous and unpredictable world because you are unlovable, unloving, and unloved. Judgment, as I say in my book, is nothing more than the ego's attempt to separate us from one another, thus allowing the lie that some are more valuable than others to continue saturating our world. So, if judgment is an issue for you, take a sip and realize judgment does one of two things. It either inflates or deflates the object of our judgment. We judge to feel better about something or worse about something. And when we focus on others' deficiencies, it takes our mind off our feelings of inadequacy and fears that we don't matter to the universe. Maybe you have a negative inner voice constantly yammering in your head. Take a sip there and find the most positive opposite voice and turn up the volume so it can drown out that negative voice. Taking a sip can get you off your sofa and cause you to begin a journey that will not only enlighten you, but also empower you. Perhaps you know that you feel unlovable, not worthy of love, and that you must earn whatever love you receive. So take a sip of unconditional love and realize that only you are holding that unconditional love away from you. And decide in that moment to let it into your heart. And know that you are worthy of love because you exist, period. And there's nothing you can say or do that will make you unworthy of love. To be locked into self-love means you know you are worthy of love. You know that how you uniquely express your loving heart is more than good enough for the universe. And you know that you matter and are valued by the universe, not for what you've done or for what you will do, but because you are simply you. Maybe you've been told your entire life that how you love is not good enough, I had this belief. I had a sister who was angry, and I decided in my childish heart that I did not love her correctly, which caused her to be very angry at me. But that was just a lie. As all children do, we decide we are the cause of all our family's issues. We did something wrong that caused someone to be angry, so we need to change ourselves. But that's just a childish lie that creates many negative beliefs down the line. Know this truth. Someone who is angry has their own issues. And no matter how much you love them, you cannot heal them. But you can harm yourself by believing you are responsible for someone's bad behavior. So take a sip and decide you're going to change the belief that how you love is wrong, and decide how you uniquely express your loving heart is more than good enough to the loving universe. Untangle yourself from the lie that you're responsible for how others behave. Let's say you feel like you don't matter to the people around you or the world or even to the gods in the heavens. Take a sip and follow that line of thought to where it began. Perhaps it was a teacher, a family member, or religious leaders who put the idea in your head that you were made wrong and that you must earn being respected and valued by the universe, the gods, or your family and friends. If the divine is unconditional love, then are you not automatically valued? I'm so sorry. Aren't you automatically valued and matter to the universe since you were made by the divine? Maybe you don't see the divine as unconditional love. So take a sip and see what happens when you take all the human traits we put onto God, God is all that is, and allow God to be unconditional love. And see what happens when you walk with that truth in your heart. So, if you feel like you lack in any of these three areas of being lovable, loving, and loved, take a sip and begin to untangle yourself from the lies and misconceptions that hold you down. You don't have to know the entire path that you're going to walk to reconnect to self-love. You just need to take a sip and begin. Like the story in the previous segment, you don't have to drink the entire lake. You just need to take a sip, and perhaps even a second sip, to fill you up. So I want all of you to take a sip this month and focus it on self-love, whether it's reading some books that can guide you on your journey, listening to podcasts that can make you think deeper, or rolling up your sleeves and doing the inner work of self-discovery, healing, and love. I want you to take a sip and do one thing this month that will guide you back to your self-love. You deserve nothing less. I'm Joffrey McClung. This is Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net.
Self-love is one of the most important love relationships you can have. We are all searching for more love in our life, and it really starts with you. Now there's a guide and workbook that gives you life-changing and powerful insights to help you through an enlightening self-discovery process to self-love, and you can get it on Amazon.com. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love by Joffrey McClung. Get it today. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love on Amazon.com.
Roku is like having your own video library with over 300,000 choices, and it's the best way to get Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, and so much more. There's a Roku player for every budget, so go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on the Roku banner.
If you want a master class on how loss can become your greatest teacher, then get the book How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live by Joffrey McClung. Following a period of loss through Joffrey's life, you'll discover how she overcame challenges to find the many gifts that helped her transcend to her authentic self. Get How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live at Amazon.com. Take Joffrey's lessons to help you overcome your grief and loss. How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live on Amazon.com.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
MySpiritualCommonSense.com is Joffrey McClung's website, where you can find a plethora of information to help you put some common sense into your spiritual conversations. Not only will you find out more about Joffrey, but you can read her blog and watch her one-minute weekly videos highlighting tips on how to stay conscious and keep growing. You can even get a free affirmations booklet if you join Joffrey's mailing list. So remember to visit MySpiritualCommonSense.com. That's MySpiritualCommonSense.com.
Eclectic talk with a positive twist. HealthyLife.net.
Thanks for joining me. I hope you got some inspiration, some information, and some spiritual homework that will move you forward. And please follow me on Facebook or Instagram. Also, check out my website at MySpiritualCommonSense.com. I have great blogs there, and you can read a little bit about my books on my website. I hope I've left you with some things that no longer serve you and picked up some things that celebrate you and who you are becoming. And remember, you are glorious, magnificent, and stunning in the universe's eyes, and have always been and will always be lovable, loving, and loved. Until next time, be the light the world needs and have love for all. This is Joffrey McClung for Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net. Have a joyful, loving, self-loving month.